Welcome to The Bard and Bible, a conversational devotional about scripture, life, and ministry from the perspective of a tabletop missionary still trying to figure out what those words actually mean when you string them together. There's a seat by the fire over there, and it looks like things are just about to get started. Tonight's tale, Thanksgiving Rest. Hello and welcome all of you. You have arrived at our doorstep during a most festive of seasons. I am Mike Perna, your resident dwarf bard, and you have indeed found your way to the Bard and Bible as the Autumn Harvest Festival is in full swing. We've opened up the common hall to the local farmers, chefs, and bakers. Can't you smell the deliciousness wafting in from the kitchen? Please, enjoy your stay with us. I promise you, between the food and my waiting staff, you will want for nothing. So, just enjoy yourself. I have been incredibly enjoying my vacation. As many of you may have known because of following me on social media or listening to Game Store Profits, I recently got a new job, which has allowed me a lot more flexibility and just a much better working environment. But it also means that I have been getting my butt kicked. So the idea of having 4 days of not going into work has just been glorious. It also, however, not just affected the day job, it also affected a lot of stuff. Because yes, Bard and Bible has been late, and there's part of me that wants to say, oh, I always intended this to be a special Thanksgiving episode of Bard and Bible, but that would be lying, and I don't want to do that, especially not on the devotional podcast. That just seems silly. What has actually happened is that I've just been spending a lot more time taking care of my very pregnant wife. And that kind of culminated in this past 4 days. I've spent a lot of time just doing whatever she needs me to do. She is exhausted and feeling sick, and so I ended up doing the grocery shopping, even though she's much better at it than I am. There have been so many times when I've been the whirlwind cleaner throughout the house as she's sitting on the couch because she needs to rest. She is busy building a human. And on top of that, she's still working her day job. She's probably got another week, week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks of being at her job until she takes maternity leave. So it especially falls on me because I want to do that for her. I want to take care of her, and everything else kind of just takes a back seat. There's part of me that's been frustrated because there's so much content that I want to get out to you guys, so much stuff that has been on the back burner, so much stuff that has been, you know, just stewing in my head and is just itching to get out and was just about to get out until I realized I needed to step back. And there's going to be more stepping back. You're actually going to hear how do I want to put what Jonathan's going to be? Our intern, Jonathan Campoverde, I actually got to sit down with him and talk to him about future stuff. Because we were both at PAX Unplugged together, and I asked him if he wanted to step in and kind of take care of Bard and Bible as a guest innkeeper, a traveling bard? I don't know what we're going to call him, but he's going to take care of Bard and Bible for a while. You've still got a couple weeks of me before the baby arrives, but it's important to me that I stop, and I rest, and I hang out with my family. Really, I think that should be everyone's priority because the Bible kind of says when talking about people in ministry, when talking about people who are serving, their first responsibility is to their families. But that's actually not what I want to talk to you about right now. I'm here to talk about what it means to rest and how I enjoyed that rest with my family on Thanksgiving. I know that maybe you're not in the States, maybe you're listening to us from another country and you have no idea what happens at Thanksgiving, or you've only seen like Norman Rockwell paintings of what happens. Thanksgiving is a very mixed bag for some people. Some people, it's really awkward and painful to hang out with their family. But for me, it is a joyous occasion with a lot of loud laughter and ridiculousness as we cram 20 or so people into my mom's dining room. And just eat an ungodly amount of food and enjoy each other's company immensely as football plays in the background. This year, it was especially beautiful because I'm sitting there next to my wife and she looks at me and she says, he's hiccuping. And I'm like, what, what do you mean? And she goes, look at my belly. And I look down and I see these tiny little bumps as my son is literally hiccuping, and it causes my wife's entire midsection to just kind of jump up a little bit. And I start giggling like a little idiot because I didn't know how to react to the fact that my son is so close that he does things like hiccup, that he does things like move around in a way that is visible to the rest of us. And I immediately put my hand on her belly, and it was great. And I'm doing this as my family is just all around me and giggling and laughing and making fun of each other, because that's what we do. Sarcasm and jokes are our love language. And it was so good. And I was just bathed in this. And it reminded me of what Sabbath was about. It reminded me about what rest was about. Because there, in a lot of ways, rest is, at least here in the U.S., there, it's hard for us to comprehend what rest is actually supposed to be about. Because we value productivity. We value the ability to do things. So even when we're resting, our rest has to be productive. Our rest has to be about doing things and making things happen. And so actual Sabbath, actual rest, becomes such a foreign concept to us. I'm actually uniquely equipped to see some of that, I don't know, the angst that comes from not being productive. I see the emphasis we put on that, because oftentimes when I talk about the work that we do at Inroads and the work of creating content, the work of getting out there and running game days and intentional relationship building over the gaming table, often I'll get some comment, and it's not a malicious comment, and I never take it to be that. But it just reveals something about the nature of who I'm talking to when they say, so you just play games with people. And obviously I go into my spiel, I go into my president's, you know, speech at that point, and I said, no, we are about relationship building and all that stuff. All the stuff that you've definitely heard millions and millions of times from me, because it's what I do. I've honed that soundbite to a fine edge. But there's another part to that. And I said, what's just about playing? Just is a word we throw on to things to kind of belittle them, as if to say they're not important. They're not of value. It reminds me of a scene from pretty much one of my favorite movies of all time, a movie called Finding Neverland, in which Johnny Depp plays J.M. Barrie, the author of Peter Pan. And it kind of tells the story of how Peter Pan happened, how he was inspired, and the family that inspired it. There's one scene where J.M. Barrie is hanging out with the family, and he's specifically talking to the kid who eventually would inspire Peter. And the problem is that the actual Peter, it was kind of the opposite of the fictional Peter, because the actual Peter kind of had to grow up way sooner than he needed to. He'd seen some terrible things in his life, and it caused him to be incredibly cynical and just really just angry at the world. And so he didn't have room for fun or imagination or play. And so J.M. Barrie, talking to the entire family, the two other boys, Peter and his mom, and he was talking about his giant dog, his Saint Bernard in the movie. I have no idea if he actually had a Saint Bernard named Porthos, but I'd like to believe that he did, because that's just awesome. But he looks at the Saint Bernard and he says, he's not actually a dog. He's a trained bear in a circus, and I'm his trainer, and you know, dancing in the center ring. And Peter looks up to him and he says, that's absurd. He's just a dog. And I love the next moment that follows immediately after that. J.M. Barrie looks right at this tiny kid and he says, Porthos dreams of being a bear, and you want to dash those dreams by saying he's just a dog. What a horrible candle-snuffing word. That's like saying, he can't climb that mountain, he's just a man. Or, that's not a diamond, it's just a rock. Just. And I love the disgust that he puts in that last just, because that's kind of the vibe that I feel when somebody says, you're just playing games. Because we don't put any value on rest. We don't put any value on something that doesn't come to a purpose. And I'll tell you that the purpose of the gaming that we do is deep and profound, but in a lot of ways, it's not tangible. And because it's not tangible, a lot of people don't put any stock in it. But here's the thing. God showed me, and God showed all of us, that rest, in and of itself, is incredibly valuable. See, in the creation account, we all talk about the 7 days of creation and the fact that God rested on the seventh that establishes the concept of Sabbath. And what is often pointed out, and rightfully so, is the fact that God didn't need to rest. We need to rest. We run out of steam. We run out of juice. There's the just after a while, our bodies will just conk over and not work anymore. But God doesn't have that. God is infinite. God is all-powerful. God speaks and worlds are created. So he has no need for rest, and yet he does. Now, part of you will say that oh, it's just because we need that example. We need that teaching moment. But what I've often said in previous episodes of this podcast is that you deny so much of the power of what's actually happening when you say, oh, it's just an example for us. It's not just he's modeling it. It's not just that he's giving us this picture. He's showing us that rest in and of itself is valuable. In the context of Sabbath, it reminds us that we have to step out of what is normal, what is the rat race of everyday life, and say, I need to spend some time thinking about God. And even then, I want to make sure that I use this tool that I've framed for you guys, this just. It's not just spend a little extra time in prayer. It's not just make sure you go to church on Sunday. Sabbath is the idea of creating space where we can see God in our daily stuff. Sabbath is taking time to sit around the table and share the love of God with our family. Sabbath is seeing God do the amazing, miraculous work of building my son inside my wife's womb. That's what Sabbath is. It's not just anything. It's everything. So as I kind of wrap this up and kind of appreciate rest and the fact that this one won't be as long as some of the other episodes before it, there are a couple verses that I wanted to talk about in regards to Sabbath. The first one is going to be Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. And Jesus and the disciples are walking through, and the verses say, one Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those that were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. I love this verse because it reminds us what is important about this concept. What is important about the nature of it. The idea of Sabbath is to take time away to understand who God is, who you are, and the connection between the two. It is the idea of drawing closer to Jesus and to be able to appreciate and to see, to take time to literally pick our head up sometimes and see what God is doing. This is basically, you know, the continuing argument about Sabbath when it comes to the Pharisees throughout the New Testament, because it's not about what you can and can't do. Yeah, there are restrictions. There are pretty harsh restrictions about what you can do on the Sabbath in the Old Testament. But this is more along the lines of understanding the sanctity of Sabbath than it is actually you must do these things. Because if you, like so much of the rest of the Bible, if it's just about doing these things, just because you're supposed to do these things, you're doing it wrong. So the idea of doing Sabbath literally about the rules and making it about the rules as opposed to making it about creating space for God in your life and your existence, you're doing Sabbath wrong. You're actually making Sabbath a burden. You're making Sabbath a destructive force, because then it just becomes about how frustrating and how awful things are every time you approach it. And if there's one thing that Sabbath should never be, it's oppressive. Sabbath should be a time when we find God, when we step away and be with Him, not when we step into anxiety and frustration. And so I love this idea that if I was to soundbite everything that I see throughout the entirety of the scriptures about Sabbath, that it's exactly this quote that Jesus said at the end of these verses. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not about enacting certain rites. It's about giving and creating space to realize that you are not the driving force in your existence, but God, in fact, is the driving force. There's an aspect of Sabbath that hasn't been a part of modern religious practice for a really long time. And sadly, I think partly that's because we've built societies in a way that is very, very hard to pull this off. But every once in a while, they would have a Sabbath year, that the year of Jubilee. Every 7 years, no one would do anything for a year. They would save up and store up, and for an entire year, they would just celebrate. They would rest. They would let the land rest. They would let themselves rest. And it was a time to just revel in the fact that God has provided so well, that you do not fear, you do not doubt, you do not worry that on that seventh year, you will have enough because God is in charge. Like I said, I'm not here to say like we need to return to the year of Jubilee, because I don't think that our societies the way they are can do that. And that sucks, because I think that there would be so much value in being able to say, you know what, I don't need that much more stuff for this year, that I can just chill out and relax and create space, that we can be better, that we can be more us, that we can be more able to search for God, more able to take the time to see Him work and move, and put ourselves in that place where we are required to trust in Him. Because ultimately, that's what rest is. It's stepping back and realizing that God's got this. I don't need to push hard. I don't need to break my back. Because ultimately, this life, this world, this everything is God's. And so why do I not enjoy it? There's another passage that I want to look at that's kind of my favorite slap in the face to Sabbath done wrong. And it's in Luke 6, specifically starting in verse 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here and stand next to me." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" And after looking around at all of them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. I love this for a number of reasons. One is the fact that it literally is, guys, you are basically using the Sabbath as an excuse to not do what God told you to do. Which, so many times, that's what we end up doing. You know, we spend so much time figuring out, like, especially for guys like me, guys who are doing ministry, like, I'm going to church in a little bit. I'm actually running behind schedule as I record this, as I'm going to go to church, and then I'm going to run a game day, and then I'm going to go do other things and everything like that. It's really easy for folks who are doing ministry on Sundays to have Sunday be the worst day when it comes to Sabbath and to rest. And so it's really easy to kind of just use all the stuff in your activity to be like, yeah, not really, I'm not... I'm kind of busy doing this thing. And so there's part of me that loves that because Jesus is like, y'all are doing this wrong. The other thing I love about it is the fact that he goes, oh, so this is what you want me to do? You want me to not heal this guy? All right, fine. Sabbath is about not doing actions. I don't even need to do anything. He's already healed. I don't need to do a thing to heal this man. He already is. I love that because it's basically saying, he's basically saying, yeah, by the way, I'm the one who set these laws into motion. I was there at their creation. You can't catch me in this because I'm the one who wrote them. This, I love this moment. This is Jesus literally saying, I'm going to do this not because it does or doesn't abide by the nooks and crannies of Sabbath law. He's doing it because this is what he does. This is who he is. I kind of just want to end on that. Kind of want to just leave that as the thing. It's not, like, so many times we worry about, is this Sabbath or am I abiding by Sabbath? If I go to a grocery store on Sunday, am I somehow defacing what is true and good about God? And more often than not, God is literally in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, just looking at us going, y'all are doing Sabbath wrong if you think that's the important part about Sabbath. The important part about Sabbath is that you stop, that you rest, and that you look for me. Step away from all that other stuff and look for me. Folks, I hope you've had an amazing holiday season. We're only just getting started on this. If you're not in the United States, you're listening to me. I hope that whatever festivities you've got coming up, because pretty much globally, this is that time of year when all sorts of different festivals happen. And I pray that you enjoy them. I pray that you spend time with family and friends. Get some games to the table. Why not? Do whatever it is that will allow you to step back from what is going on in your life, the stuff that is frustrating you, the stuff that is weighing you down, and enjoy rest. And when you're in that rest, look for God, because I promise you, that is where you will find him. I look forward to seeing you again next time on the Barden Bible.